I sure appreciate your prayers tonight. Very thankful to be here and desire for the Lord to help us. I don't know how many, not many, I suppose, but it was in the afternoon service, but I was impressed by the thought, because so much of it was what I was actually thinking, and so many of the scriptures was exactly the scriptures. It wasn't the same message at all, but it was one of those times that the scriptures was all, and Brother Dan kind of started out with the same kind of line of thought that I had thought about, so I kind of restate some of it in my own thinking. But we did just pass through what's called the Christmas time and those kind of things. It's hard to get away from that because it's a pretty big deal to most people around. And so I had some thoughts about the whole thing of Christmas. And I'll say this about it. A lot can be said about it, but I'll say this about it. Where Christ is mentioned, I'm thankful. You know, Paul had a sentiment like that, to where he said some did it in pretense and some insincerity, but whatever it was, Christ was preached, and he said, I rejoice. That's the way I kind of feel about it, where in this old evil world and time of things that people hook themselves to, when Christ is mentioned, I'm thankful for it. I'm glad that there's an acknowledgement of Christ, and so I'm thankful for it. And I also personally like the Christmas time and the time that you get off and family gets together and those kind of things. But I have to acknowledge, and this is Marty speaking and not the Lord, so to speak, but I'll have to acknowledge that Christmas to me is a religious idea, maybe a spiritual idea, a carnal idea, a custom and a tradition, and a lot of commercializing, all mixed together. And that's what it is. I don't think we could deny that that's kind of what it is to the people around us. It's a mixture of things. When you see Santa Claus and his reindeer going across the top of the manger scene, you can know what I'm talking about. It's a mixture of all these kind of thoughts, and people will put out lights and stuff, and you'll have a star that represents the star that the wise men was led by, and it's mixing an idea of the Lord, but it also is mixing in over to the side here. You'll have some elf and some reindeer and those kind of things all mixed into a bag of things. And I think that the Bible obviously speaks of the feast and the celebrations of the Bible and was never condemned. And I like celebrations of things and I find nothing wrong with celebrating the events and the things of life as long as they're wholesome and good. But it's a really hard idea to mix something that the Lord didn't say to do. He didn't give us parameters. So we don't have a purity in it altogether. For instance, the tradition of giving each other's presents. They brought presents to the Lord, but that's not exactly like me getting them. So there's some traditions and stuff mixed into this, and I'm not here to put it up or down. I'm just suggesting that that's kind of what it is, and along with that, there is some things that's just not accurate. Of course, the guy that comes down the chimney and stuff has no place in there. I mean, obviously, but there's some things that's depicted in the scriptural scene that's not accurate. I mean, you'll see the major scene and you'll see the wise men there. They wasn't there at the birth of Jesus. It was, if you read the scripture closely, they really wasn't there. Brother Dan was talking about the actual day of his birth that nobody knows, and it's true, we don't know. It's really impossible to know what the date was, but we almost definitely know it wasn't the 25th of December. You can know a lot of things that it isn't, and that's one of the things that it isn't in all the dates that you can get close to, suggest the end of September, somewhere in the 1st of October, and you can figure that, so that's wrong, and that's no stumbling block to me. I'm just giving you some information about the thing, and you know, really it's surmising that there was three wise men. The scripture just says there was wise men. That means there's more than two. And anything after that's wide open, but it's they assumed that because there was three gifts. And so it's an assumption that there was three wise men. But it's nearly not concreted in there. And there's some things like that that has to do with Christmas. It's not accurate. Probably the wise men definitely got there at when he was a child and already in the house. That's what the scripture says. And so he was probably around 2 years old, it's assumed. Those kind of things. So there's some inaccuracies, and God ain't really good at the inaccuracy thing. He's altogether accurate. And so, but like I say, it's hard to mix all those. And so when I think about those kind of things, I put it where I can put it in my own life and in mine. I thank God that he sent his son. I thank God for that. I thank God that the world can still acknowledge that there was a time that God sent his son into the world. I don't know about all the accuracies and those things, but I can be thankful for some for that. But what I want to talk about tonight is something that goes along with it that I've been meditating through the Christmas season is that it was very important that he come, but it's very important for why he came. And it's been in my mind quite a bit. Why did you come? So I want to think about it tonight more than just the idea that the Lord does do things for a reason. He really told us to remember his death. He really said to do that. I mean, that's a command. That as often as you do this, he said. This is something that's very important to the service of the Lord. But he didn't really tell us to remember his birth like he did his death. But I'm glad he came. And he came for a reason. And I want us to really think about the reason that he came. Because it was a big deal. Some would say, I've heard it said that Jesus Christ is the center of human history. Everything dates back from behind him, comes to point to the day that he'd be here, and everything after him points back to the fact that he was here. Everything points to the cross. Everything points to the Christ. The time that it would come and the time we look back to it, Jesus Christ came for a reason. And that reason should be not a day of the year. The reason should be all the time in our hearts and life. Jesus came. He had a purpose. He wasn't like a political person that mixes up the reason he comes or has another side agenda or tells it one way or another. Jesus came with an exact focus and purpose for why he was coming and what he was going to do when he came. So he came for a reason. I want to look at a scripture over in John, third chapter of John. Very familiar scripture to us, I'm sure. I'm going to read a little bit of it just to get the thought here. First chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, I want to stop here a minute and just bring out a point that I think will be relative later. Nicodemus came by night. It was a point to say that Nicodemus come by night. Well, why did you come? Nicodemus, why did you come by night? Well, obviously, there was some shame or fear. There was something that made Nicodemus not want to do it in the daytime. And in our lives, sometimes there is shame, peer pressure, fear. We know what the Lord says, that if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But he didn't come to shame you. The purpose that Jesus came wasn't to put you down in front of people and do those kind of things. It wasn't why he came. Those things happen. But there's a real lesson here. And Lord, help us. There's a real lesson in this. He came. That's the lesson of this. He came the way he was. You have to start somewhere, folks. If you suggest that I'm going to start when I get to that point, you're suggesting you can do it and take care of yourself without Christ. I'm saying he's in this place and he's got shame or fear or any of that, and he needed power. He needed victory. He needed help from Jesus to overcome this that was in his life. And how am I going to overcome it if I don't go to the one that can help me overcome it? We have things in our lives, okay? There's things in our life. You may be dealing with something that you're ashamed of. You may be dealing with fears. You may not want other people to see it. You may be that place in your life. But you know what? He came. He took advantage. I don't know when Jesus was born either, Brother Dan. But it didn't matter to Nicodemus now. Nicodemus needed, longed for, wanted something more than the man had. And he heard of a man, he heard of one that was going around healing the sick, doing miracles, all of these things, and he knew he had something in his heart, he needs something, I don't understand, and that, and he, but he came. He came. We may look at him and say, oh, Nicodemus, you sure ain't acting like a Christian. That's right. And I need to act like one. And I need the power to act like one. And I don't have it. I want to suggest tonight that Jesus came for a reason. And so he didn't come to perfect people. Do you remember the time where Jesus had went and was actually supping with sinners? He was actually eating with sinners, and the righteous Pharisees looked on it and says, there's something wrong with him. Look what he's doing. He's eating with the sinners. What a terrible thing to do is eat with the sinners. Jesus wasn't confused about his mission. His mission was to talk to sinners. His mission was to come and give hope to those that didn't have any, those that were in sin. That's what he came for. Over in the scriptures, do you remember another time where there was a woman that came to the Lord and was in this situation, and they looked at Jesus and said, he's no prophet. Because if he was a prophet, he would know that that's a bad woman. And he shouldn't have no dealings with that bad woman. If he was a prophet, he would know the character of that woman. Jesus knew what his mission was. Jesus came to take care of this woman's bad situation. He wasn't confused in his mission. And he made the comment it's the sick that needs the physician. The well need not a physician. I came to do this. And so there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a tax collector. He was basically a thief. He was stealing from people. That's the way it reads. And Jesus is coming by, and he shortens stature. You know the story. He climbs a sycamore tree, and Jesus comes by and says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. I'm going to your house. Jesus wasn't confused in his mission. Going to that guy's house? He's a tax collector. He cheats people. He's all this stuff, and he's going to his house. I know what my mission is. I know what the mission is. My mission is to come to you in your needs. It is not to come to say, point out to the whole crowd, see that little guy in the tree? I got his number. You all don't worry, he's cheated you, but I got him. We're going to take care of him. That's human thinking. That wasn't the mission that Jesus had. Jesus knew the whole gamut of people's sins, but he didn't come to destroy it. There was a woman at the well one time, and Jesus, he made a point to go by the well. He said, it needs that I go there, because there's a soul there. There's someone there. And do you know what kind of woman that was? Jesus said of her, he said about her husband, yeah, you've had five husbands, and the one who you're with now ain't your husband. He didn't say that for a condemnation, to bring judgment on her. He said that to bring a realization to her. How can I know that? He wanted to touch her life. He wanted her to be saved. There was another case, you remember, where the men got to Jesus and said, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Now, the law says that she should be stoned. Now, they thought that they was going to get Jesus because the law did say that she was to be stoned. But Jesus was preaching something different now. And so they think they got him, right? Jesus knew his mission. And so they said, "What say you?" You know, he could have uncovered it to the whole world. There was, in that past, if you look, there was people around. He could have started saying to them, "You're this, you're this, you're this. No hope to anybody." But you know what we get from that? Jesus looked at this poor woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery, sin, dirtiness, filthiness, uncleanliness. And he said, "I don't want to destroy her. I came that she might be saved. I want to change her life and her heart." But he didn't just say that to her there. In the way he dealt with them, he said it to them. He could have destroyed them. He could have run them all. But he didn't. He done it secretly and quietly and wrote on the ground and made them feel what they felt as they went away. Jesus don't want to destroy you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to work with you and help you and let you understand. He says to the woman, in a minute, you remember they went out by oldest to the youngest and they ended up walking away because he asked them, without sin cast the first stone. Many translators say that should be the same sin. Maybe it should have been. Maybe Jesus referred, if you're without the same sin that she has, then cast a stone at her. But anyway, they walked away of whatever he wrote down. Where's your accusers? There's none, Lord. Neither. Wait a minute. Sinner? Adulterer? Caught in the act? Neither do I condemn thee. I didn't come for no side agendas. He came for a purpose. That purpose to me is what it's about. It's his purpose. It's what he wants to do. He said that. From a very young age, I think Brother Dan brought that scripture out, but a very young age, at 12 years old, they were seeking him. And he said, "Why are you seeking me? Do you not know that I need to be about my father's business?" What was the father's business? Destroying people? Hurting people? No. I must be about my father's business. I got my directions here. I got my bearings. This is what I'm going to do. I come to save people. I come to help them. So Nicodemus, Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it is cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" In my mind, I like this story, and in my mind, it seems like I relate with this guy so much here in this. I've been religious. I've been a part of this all these times. I've got it in order. I think I know. I'm an elder. I got all these things, and now you're coming away, and you're saying things, and in this, and how? I know you're of God. You proved it. I mean, it's a witness to me. I know this, but how can these things be? How can it possibly be like this? You know, Jesus' dealings with us sometimes are painful. Sometimes they're stirring. Sometimes you lose sleep over the dealings of God. But you know, it's God's love that he deals with us. Oh, you want the Lord to deal with you. You want the Lord to say no if you need no. You want the Lord to deal with you in your life. It's what he came for. He wants to deal in our lives. Nicodemus here, Jesus says in the 10th verse, says, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we know and testify that we have seen, and ye have received our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe me not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascendeth into heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. For, listen, this is probably, I think without a doubt, probably not many would debate it, the most familiar scripture in the Bible. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Then he had a purpose. He had a purpose. His purpose is love. Whatever the Christmas story is, this is the reason why Jesus came. This is the ultimate story. There's a part for you and I to play in this great saga. There's a part for you and I to give ourselves. He made a way. Nicodemus did have to come. It was open to him. He had been witnessed to. He knew what the miracles. He had heard them. And you know he came. I think he come doubting, fearful, maybe ashamed. But he came. And if you can imagine, sometimes the chills that we get from the things of the Lord, if you can imagine the great loving eyes of Christ looking right at you, right at Nicodemus, for God so loved the world. Jesus spake as no other man spake. He spake with authority. His words were penetrating. And he said to him, for God so loved the world. Nicodemus, here's the purpose. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to get to the 17th verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Some say that the term world here, referring to the Gentile world, to Nicodemus, to get this straight. Because there was an overwhelming idea at the time that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, would come and would yield the sword and destroy the Roman nation or make it subservient to the Jewish nation. There would be an overthrowing. There would be these things. And Jesus comes there in plain language and says, I did not come. He did not send me to condemn the world. I did not come to destroy the Gentile nation. I did not come to destroy people's lives. I came to bring salvation to all men. I came to bring the great salvation to everybody that will accept it, to Jew, to Gentile, to all humanity, to everywhere. The Christmas story can be wrapped up. Jesus is not the little baby in the manger. He grew up. He grew up and he had a mission. He came in humbly. He came in the will of God. But there's a reason why God didn't give it that much attention and thing. He wanted us to know he came. And he came, but he came for the purpose. And this is the purpose that he came from. Go and look at the testimony and the prophecy of what he was going to come for. He was going to come to set us free. Isaiah 61, he's going to let the prison doors open. He's going to rescue us out of these prisons of our own selves, our makings, our sins have captivated us, and our own lusts and desires have put us in a cage. And he said, I'm going to let that open. The blind eyes will see. I'm going to bring life to people. I'm going to change the way they are. That's the reason I'm coming. And don't put me in this place, Nicodemus. Understand this, for God so loved the world. The whole world. Today, you have to realize in whatever place in sin or place that you're in tonight, whatever place of failure or whatever you may have in your life or whatever culture or environmental or whatever you can say from your reasons, whatever the problem is down there, whatever it is that makes you to be a dysfunctional person, whatever it is in any way, he come to heal it. He didn't come to shine it on a pole. He didn't come to make you a laughing stock. He come and he puts us all in the same place. And once you understand that, you have pity on everybody. When you understand, when you really understand, when I understand that I was broken and undone and unable to save myself or change myself. And Christ came for that. He came to change me. Oh, I've said many times, thank God, the courage, the hope that I can have is if Jesus saved me, He's not going to give up on me. And you don't have to feel like you're going to be given up on, because this is the mission that He has. His mission is to take you to your eternal home. He came to make you in one with God. It's His mission, and He's still on the mission today. He's still wanting to fulfill that in our lives. This is what He wants. It's what He came to do. It's what He came to do here, and He proclaims to Nicodemus and all that hear it. I did not come to condemn the world. Whatever idea that you have today about certain groups of people, that whatever ought to happen to them, I'm going to tell you today, in the love of God, He came to save everybody. He does not want to destroy groups of people. Yes, we got what they call transgender movement and stuff like that. It can be to people like us. It can be something that can really challenge you. But I'm going to tell you today, Jesus did not come to destroy them. He didn't come to destroy. He came to save them. We might look at the other things in the world and the religious things and the things out there in the world and the groups and the movements and some that will behead this one or kill this one or terrorists or all of that, and you can go into that. But I'm going to tell you this. Jesus did not come to destroy them. It wasn't His mission. He came to destroy sin in their lives, in our lives. You're here tonight. You got a problem in that. There's no reason for you. Do as Nicodemus come. You don't have to know it all. Take a step. Tell Jesus you're glad that He did what He did. He come. This is what he came for, that we might be saved. I think Brother Dan mentioned Matthew 11:28 today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me. This is the mission. This is what He came to. Come. You have needs in your life, come. This is why I came into the world. September, October, November, December, it doesn't matter to me. I don't think we celebrate all kinds of things at different times. I mean, if we don't hit the right day on our birthdays and we're going to celebrate something, we'll do it at a different day. It doesn't matter. We celebrate for what it was and all those kind of things. It don't matter what day that came it is. I celebrate this in my heart. Thank you for coming. Thank you for giving yourself, because we really need you. We really need you. There was a character in the Bible by the name of Saul. Saul was a zealous man. He knew what he believed, and he was willing to give his whole life for it. Totally. He was going to give his whole life for it. And the way he was going to do it was when he was thought that he was doing God's service, he went around persecuting the church, women, children. He was sounded like a pretty miserable man to me, a hard man. He was doing what he thought was right to do. And he needed arrested. So Jesus arrested him. I know there was probably people that thought at the time, I hope he dies. I hope he gets in an accident. I hope somebody kills him. Maybe some would even plot to kill him. Jesus didn't want to kill him. Jesus looked down into what looked like a terrible man's heart and saw a sincere person that was lost because of sin. And so He rescued him on his road to Damascus. He rescued him and stopped him. And he didn't destroy him. Oh, on the contrary, He did arrest him, though, and got his attention. And when He said, Lord, who are you? I'm Jesus. Oh, what words must have penetrated that? I wonder what that felt like. I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I heard that plain. What? I imagine there was some fear there. What's this going to happen to me? I've been rejecting and resisting. No, Paul. I didn't come to destroy you. I came to save you, convert you, change you, teach you the truth. You remember one time when the disciples, something had happened, and so the disciples says to the Lord about these people, and said, you want us to call some fire down from heaven? Just give us the authority. And these people are bad people for what they're doing. You give us the authority, and we'll call down fire on them. Destroy them right here. Show everybody. Remember what Jesus said? You know what spirit you're of. That's not the spirit that I have. I have a spirit that I want to touch people's lives. I want them to be changed. Is anybody in here could raise your hand and say, yeah, I've done enough that I should be destroyed? Does anybody could say that I've committed enough sin against God that I ought to be destroyed? Yes. Yes, I can't pay my debt myself. I can't pay for what I've done. I can't pay for the lies that I told. I can't pay for what I stolen, the things that I've done. You can't pay any of it. So what am I going to do? The Lord comes along and says, this is what I came for. Now, I've told this before, but I remember back a long time ago getting a nickel out of my mom's purse. I was a little kid. We didn't have much money, but I remember getting a nickel out of my mom's purse. I don't know why I did it. It wasn't like I did it all the time, but I got that nickel. And then I run into a dilemma. Now, who would believe I had a nickel? I mean, it was unbelievable. I had to have an excuse for having a nickel. And so I come up with this clever idea that I was going to drop it through the crack of the porch. We had a coal bin in under the house. We burned coal. And I dropped that nickel down through the crack of the porch. Then I could honestly, I was worried about my honesty. I could honestly say, when I went down there and looked for it and found it, I could honestly say, I found, where'd you get that nickel? I found it down in the coal. And that's what I did. You know, there'll come a time that I was grown and saved. It come back to me. I went and told my mom. Mom, I told her the story. She said, Marty, I ought to spank you right here. I mean, I was 30 years old. I mean, so that. I'm going to tell you, Jesus came. Children, Jesus ain't condemning you. He didn't come to write it all up and say, this is it, now let's go to execution. He come to say, this is who you are, and I'm going to pay for that nickel for you. I'm going to pay for the lie that you told. I'm going to do all of these things. There needed to be someone that paid the price for us. Jesus did it on the cross, and the way he did it, he was born one day. That was the way, that was the significance of him coming, that one day he was going to go to the cross. That's what makes it important. He went to the cross for you and I. So glad that he did. Jesus shows his absolute purpose when he's hanging on the cross. And he looks down from the cross and says, Father, forgive them. They had done hideous things to his person. They had put a crown of thorn on his head. They had whipped him. They beat him. Mouthed him, yes you will. They reviled on him. They did these hideous things. They drove spikes through his hands and feet. They hung him on a cross. They did all of these things to him. And his absolute mission of what he was about, his goal, his purpose, is stated right here from this one statement. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Father, forgive them was the mission that he had for all of us. Father, forgive them. Help them. Bring salvation. Now you and I have a part in this. He offers it. He did come. Thank the Lord. He showed us the way of life. See, Jesus not only came for this, he came for the purpose of salvation, but he knew we needed the visuals. We needed something to hang ourselves to. He didn't want us to hang ourselves on his birthday. He didn't want us to hang on that he was 6'2", that he had a certain... None of that's described in the Bible. You know, Jesus is very well described in the Bible, spiritually. Who he was, what he came to do. We understand the Father and the nature of the Father because we understand what Jesus Christ was. He was described to us in his gentleness, his compassion, his holiness, his right, his goodness. All of that depicts who he was spiritually, and we know nothing, almost nothing. Oh, there's a scripture in Isaiah that says something about him not being comely. We could get a few thoughts about him, but I mean, was he bigger eyed, little eyed? Did he have thick lips, little lips? I mean, what you can't put anything to him because he'd done it on purpose. He does not want us to anchor on that. He wants us to anchor on who he was. And he gave that demonstration when he came. He came for this. And there was a reason why the creator of the universe, all things were made by him and for him. There was a reason why he was born. There was a reason why there was no room at the end. There was a reason why he was born in a manger. If he was born in a manger, then I can too. If he taught us lowliness, he was lowly. He humbled himself before God. He never rose up. This is the reason he put the importance on the important things. Who you are inside is what is important. I want to come and do something for you to change you, to help you into this. And so he lived the life of example for you and I. It's the reason he come. He gave us an example. That if you ever wonder, or Brother Dan mentioned this morning too, if you ever wonder what to do, oh, what would Jesus do? Is a good way to start. What would Jesus do in this particular place? What would Jesus do is the answer to my life. And he come not to bring condemnation to you. He doesn't want to make a spectacle out of you. He doesn't want to do any of that. He came for the simple purpose of leading and guiding you into the truth and into the better life and ultimately into his presence forevermore. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.